And it's very simple. God said to the disciples to ask Jesus to show them how to pray. And that's when they learned the prayer that we have all known all our lives as the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Amen. And I want to just take a bit of that prayer today, and I want to look at various versions of it. And Alex is going to put the whole thing up for me in a minute. But if we start, if you're following me in your Bibles, or if you've got a phone on your with a Bible on, I'm reading at the moment from the New Living Translation, and I'm starting with Matthew chapter 5. Because most of us know that if we know the Bible well, we know Matthew 5 means the Beatitudes. Yes? And everybody's heard of the Beatitudes. Everybody knows that Beatitudes means people had to sit down and listen to Jesus because he was going to teach something. And it says in verse 1, "One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them." Who was he teaching? Actually, he was teaching the disciples, because the disciples had already started a journey with him, and he wanted to take them on in their journey to know more about the kingdom, because everything that he does is about building his kingdom, isn't it, in the end? But he knew that the crowds were there, and they wanted to hear as well, and he allowed them to, which is why he went up on the mountainside, so they could all hear. And how many lives got changed that day, we don't know, but it was probably thousands. Then if we go to Matthew chapter 6, hang on, I'm just going to follow my notes a little bit so I don't get outside what I'm supposed to do. In verse 5, it says, Jesus starts teaching about prayer. Remember, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. That was from Luke chapter 11. So we know that at the same meeting, the disciples actually asked him, teach us how to pray. But he was going to teach them how to pray anyway, because when he sat up on that mountainside, he had a lot to say. And the people were there all day listening to him, absolutely staggered by the knowledge that he had, by the way he explained life, all the things that he had to say about the spiritual realm, all the things he had to say about the kingdom of God. And they were absolutely fascinated. They'd never heard anybody so bold come and share a message like this again. And part of this message that he was going to deliver anyway was going to be about prayer. And in chapter 6, they're still sitting at his feet, the disciples. They're all the crowd still there. He's still on the same preach as he started hours ago. And in verse 5, he starts to teach about prayer. And he says, when you pray, and he's talking to the disciples, because the disciples have already been told that they are to pray. They have been told to watch his life and do what he does. And every day when there's been something important happening, they've watched Jesus go up the mountain to pray. And they've watched him come back with answers that they couldn't even imagine that God had given him, which changed people's lives. And miraculous things happened, didn't they, in people's lives? There were miracles, there were signs, there were wonders. And so they wanted to know, how do we pray? Because we want that same power to be released. We want to know how to pray too, so that we too can be involved in your miracles. So he says this, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on all the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they'll ever get. But when you pray, now this is the message to us, when we pray, What does he tell us to do? Go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. So Jesus is saying, sometimes prayer is corporate. You know, it's all of us together praying, isn't it? And that's why we come to church, because the thing we do like we do now is to pray together, and that's very powerful. God wants us to pray as a united body. But you see, he's also got a call on every individual's life. And for us to be able to answer the call, to know what he wants us to do, to know how we should act today or how we should act tomorrow, we need to go to God privately. Nobody else needs to know about our conversations with God. This is our private conversation with him. And he goes on in verse 7. I'll just read this bit. I didn't actually put this bit up, I don't think. I'll just read it to you. It just says, when you pray, don't babble on and on, as people of other religions do, because they think their prayers are answered merely by repeating things over and over and over again. And Alistair can testify to that when he was in the Catholic Church. That's how it was. Repeating over and over and over and over again, thinking the more times I repeat it, the more God's going to hear me. It's not true at all, is it? Don't be like them, God says. For your Father knows already, before you pray, he knows what you need. So therefore, when you come to pray, what's he going to tell you to do? He's going to tell you to pray for the things you need, because he knows already that you need them. And who's the one who's going to give them to you? He is. He is your supplier. He's your provider, isn't he? He gives you everything you have. So he says, pray like this. And if we now put up the Lord's Prayer, which we have done here, most of us can babble it off, can't we? How many of you were at school and used to be able to babble it off? Most of us, yes. Some might not. And if you don't know how to do that, I thank God for that, because he doesn't want you to babble it off. But even babbling it off has its effect. I can remember last year or the year before, there was a horrible aeroplane crash somewhere. And the pilot said, in those last moments, he knew the plane was coming down. He knew that he'd got 400 or whatever people on board. And he thought, oh my God, I'm responsible. But I can't do anything about this. This is out of my hands. And the only thing he could think to do was to shout out the Lord's Prayer that he learned at school. And he shouted out, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the whole prayer came out of him. And in those moments, God and he connected. And that plane came down, but those people were saved. Very few people died. It was an absolute miracle. And the only thing people could say in the press was it must have been something to do with that prayer. How right they were. So we know that the Lord's Prayer has got great power. And Jesus said to his disciples, pray like this. Now, why did he do that? Because he didn't want them wasting their time praying all sorts of other stuff, which, you know, was not going to be effective. He wanted effective, fervent prayer from his people, so that he could answer those prayers. And that's what we need to remember. And I can remember last year, we were having a house group, and a lot of the people that came to the house group were sharing their needs for prayer. We were saying, you know, what needs do people have? You know, who needs prayer? And they all put their hands up. And when we went round talking to everybody, it turned out that everybody was having trouble sleeping. How many of you have had trouble sleeping? And I thought, this is very interesting, because this is a large number of people in the congregation that are having trouble sleeping. So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what should we do? And he said, pray the Lord's Prayer. So I thought, okay. So I said to everybody, the only answer I have for this is what I believe God has said to me, which is, when you wake up, pray the Lord's Prayer. And everybody started to do it. And suddenly everything changed. People started to connect with God in the night. Something happened in the night that they became effective and fervent in the prayer in the night. And for me, I was also having trouble sleeping. I could start praying, oh God, my Father. And then go take my own prayer on from there about how much I loved him, how much he'd done for me, and to thank him and all of it. By the time I'd finished the first line, I couldn't remember what the second line was. And I just fell to sleep. And the Lord spoke to me a few days later, and he said, what's happening is that my church is taking the night seasons. That when we pray the Lord's Prayer at night, we are taking the night for the Lord. Because as you know, the enemy loves the darkness. He loves to prowl around at night. Most of the dark things that happen around in the world happen at nighttime, don't they? When the enemy can't be seen to be working, the prostitutes are all out. You know, the drug addicts are busy exchanging drugs. All these evil things are all in dark places. But the Lord said to me, as you begin to pray at night, even if you only get the first line out, God will use everybody that's doing it to fulfill the entire prayer, and it will be effective. So I think what God is saying to us for this time that we're alive is, don't forget the Lord's Prayer. It's really important. And what I'd like to do is just take it line by line. I've also got here, well, I haven't actually, I've just changed it. Hold on. That was naughty of me. I've got the Passion Translation here too, which some of you may never have heard of, but it's a very good, different translation that makes it very easy to understand. And it also brings out some things which have been missing for a while in the scriptures. And some of you love it, don't you? And so if I look at my translation, which is the New Living Translation, and you look at this one, it says, pray like this, and the first line says, Our Father in heaven, doesn't it? Our Father in heaven. Now, the first word is our. And I think that's really interesting, because Jesus was saying, pray like this. Our Father. And I don't know if the disciples knew that his Father was their Father until he really made it clear to them that his Father in heaven is our Father. And of course, the reason he wants to save us all, the reason he wants to save our souls is because he's going to introduce us and bring his gift to his Father, which is all of us. And we will all be introduced to him as our Father. And at this time, we are allowed to address him as our Father. That's amazing. I mean, Jesus says in the Passion Translation, hang on. Oh, I'm on six again. My phone's jumping about a bit because it's not on the internet. It says, whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God. Now he's saying, this is my Father. Be alone with Father God. Some of us might think, well, I don't know if I know Father God. I know who Jesus is, but do I know Father God? And Jesus is saying, it's time for you to be introduced to him. And this is his way of doing it. It's like, start by learning to pray to him. And pray, and if you really think, well, I can only think Jesus. That's fine, because he says I'm the express image of my Father anyway, doesn't he? But he wants us to know that his Father in heaven is the one who's actually going to tell him what to do to answer your prayers. So why not go to him yourself? Interesting. And so. In the Passion, it says, our beloved Father. It doesn't just say our Father, but it says our beloved Father, which shows a great love between Jesus and his Father. And that's another thing that God wants to develop between you and the Father in heaven. He wants you to know that you are his beloved and he is your beloved. Isn't that interesting? How special is that? It makes you feel special, doesn't it? When you start realizing that as his child, you are his beloved and he is your beloved and you're allowed to call him beloved. I mean, you know, if we're married, we've got all sorts of nicknames for our husbands and wives, haven't we? But it's because we love them. It's because, you know, it's special. Some of you are smiling and laughing and wouldn't like to know what those names are. We won't ask. But we all have special names. We have special names for our kids, don't we? We have nicknames for them. Why? Because they're our beloved children, aren't they? And that's the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us too. And so this is what the notes say in the Passion Translation. And this is what I think is very interesting, that this beginning of the prayer is like an invitation to you. Imagine Jesus coming and handing you an invitation. And the invitation says, come into relationship with my Father, Abba Father. Come into relationship with him. So the beginning of this prayer has got a completely different look to it now, hasn't it? From our Father in heaven, who miles away, someone we haven't got a clue about, don't know what he looks like, nothing, you know. Suddenly we're realizing, Jesus is saying, come into relationship with him. He's Abba. He's my Father. He's your Father. And he's our beloved Father. He loves you. And you love him. Doesn't that make you feel better about the beginning of the Lord's Prayer? It makes you feel that you can come to our Father in heaven and his love is consuming you because he wants to hear from you. He wants to be with you. And then it says dwelling in the heavenly realms. It doesn't say our Father in heaven. It says dwelling in heavenly realms. Realms, what does that speak of to us? It speaks of... We talk about kingship, doesn't it? About the realm of the king, the realm of our majesty. So it's a much bigger, it makes you realize how vast his kingdom is, how vast he is. How can he know and listen to every Lord's Prayer coming from every individual in the church, at any time of the day or night? Absolutely incredible. But that's how vast he is. That's how amazing he is. And I give up. I give up, yeah. I don't think the enemy likes this message very much. But are you all right? Oh, you are kind, thank you. Woo! Whole lot's going to go. It's all Alice's, give it to him. I think you just give it to Alistair and then he can have it later. Thank you so much. So, okay, now I'm going to read you the Lord's... Let's all read that together, shall we? Just as it is. But stop at every comma. Stop at every full stop and just have a think about what you just said. Because later in the Passion, it's going to tell us that this is just a model of lots of headings of things for us to use. So, for example, our Father in heaven, if you want to say, Lord, I don't really know you very well. Jesus is inviting me to come and get to know you, but I need to know you. You see, that's a prayer, isn't it? And it comes out of the first line of the actual prayer. And every line is like that. You can expand it to ask for something else. And God is listening because he put that in your heart so that he could answer it, because that's what he wants for you. He wants the best and he wants you to know him. But let's just read it all together, shall we? Pray like this. Ready? Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's wonderful, and we all know it like that. Now listen to it from the Passion Translation. It says, our beloved Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Be the center. Do you remember that hymn, that song? Jesus, be the center. All of us have to make Jesus the center of our life. If he's not the center of our life, then he's not, you're not where you should be. Do you know what I mean? He wants to be the center of everything in your life. If you've got troubles in your life, he wants to be the center of them so that he can correct all those things. If you've got sickness in your life, he wants to be at the center so that you will seek him for what he is. He's your healer. If you've got money troubles, he wants that to be the center of that because he is your provider and he will make sure that you get out of your debts. You know, it doesn't matter what area of life you look at, Jesus and his Father want to be at the center of it. Amen. Then it says, manifest your kingdom realm. Instead of saying, let your kingdom come, it's saying, manifest your kingdom. Now, why is it saying manifest your kingdom? Because when you and I gave our lives to Jesus, he put in us his kingdom. We carry the kingdom of God in our hearts. We carry it. How can you have the Holy Spirit living in you with no kingdom? He's you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's their kingdom. If he's taken you into the kingdom, then the kingdom's in you and you are in the kingdom. So he's saying manifest it. Let it manifest on earth. Let us be able to begin to see it. Let us see it grow. And our job as the church, of course, is to advance the kingdom. To advance the kingdom. So when we pray, we are advancing the kingdom because we're taking away the power of the enemy in every situation so that his kingdom come and his will be done. So it says, manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is in heaven. And then it says, give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? What do you think of it? What do you think that means? Feed us, maybe? How do you think of it? Food? Yes or no? Yep, definitely food. But what other kind of food do we need? We need the bread of life. And the bread of life is the word of God, isn't it? We need to know that he provides everything for us based on his word, based on his will. And if we ask for something that's not in his will, it won't happen. But if we ask for something that is in his will, then it will happen. It might take time, but it will happen. Because he is tied to his word. He is the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. It has to come to pass, doesn't it? So we need never fear that if we ask God, give us our daily bread, we're saying, give me what I need spiritually. Give me what I need mentally and emotionally. Give me what I need physically. If I need clothes, I need clothes. If I need shoes, I need shoes. If I need food, I need food. Those are all physical things. But I need my spirit to be satisfied in understanding what your kingdom's all about. Is it wrong to ask God to satisfy that desire in your heart to know? Absolutely not. God wants us to understand him. He wants us to understand, which is why we need to have a daily dose of the Word of God, don't we? Because the more we know the Word, the more we learn about him. So manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is in heaven. We acknowledge you as our provider. Everything we need every day, he provides. All we need each day, he provides. All we need, not all we want, all we crave, but all we need, he provides every day. And then in verse 12, it says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Now, that's quite hard. I think if you're trying to explain that to young children, that can be very difficult for them to understand. But here it's much easier. It says, forgive us the wrongs that we have done as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. And here we have to stop and think, who's wronged me in the past? Am I still holding a grudge? When I see that person, do I still feel a grudge against them? Do I still feel trapped in unforgiveness? Because God is saying, if you come to me and ask me to forgive you, I will not until you release forgiveness for those that have hurt you. So we have to forgive. We have to ask him. And you could come to the Lord and you could say, Lord, forgive me my debts as I forgive those that have put me in debt, kind of thing. And the Lord would say, I can't, because you haven't really let go of those things. You haven't let go of the hurt. You haven't let go of the resentment. You haven't let go of the anger. You haven't let go of, can be hundreds of things. But we need to search our souls here as we pray this part of the prayer. Lord, what do I need to let go of? Because I need to know that as I let go of it, I am releasing forgiveness into those people who actually damaged me in some way. And this can be very hard. It can take a long time in your life. But God will never, ever stop helping you when you ask him. And this is why the Lord is saying, this is why the Lord's Prayer is always important. It never loses its importance. It never loses its place as the most important prayer to pray. Because God wants to help us to get free from all this junk, that we've had to face during our lives. And who knows how much more there might be. And we've got to stay in a place of forgiveness and releasing forgiveness. Hang on, let's go on to the next bit. And then it says, bring us not into temptation. Does God ever bring us into temptation, do you think?
Yes.
Well, he says he doesn't. In the Word, it says God is not our tempter. He's not our tempter, but he allows us to ourselves in positions where the tempter can come and tempt. Is that clear? Does that make sense? So you yourself can be the troublemaker here. You can be your own worst enemy because you allowed something to release you into a temptation. And for example, let's take some simple things. For example, if you've got a problem with food. You love food, and you just can't say no to it. And you're asking God, Lord, keep me healthy. And he's saying, how can I? How can I? You're wrecking your own health by overeating or whatever it might be. He says, ask me to help you in this situation. Ask me, I won't lead you into temptation. But you might allow yourself to be led into temptation. Turn your eyes away from those things and find something else to do so that you won't be tempted. There are many things in the church that are temptations. You can't believe how many men we've come across that are involved in pornography. And, you know, how many girls we've got sitting in our congregations that are actually involved in prostitution. There's nothing wrong in people coming into church with all the junk they've got, but they're here for a reason, to unburden themselves. And God wants to help. He wants to help in every way he can. So that's, you know, another look at that. So when you pray that now, we're asking God to deliver us from the evil one. That's going to be the same everywhere. You know, we're asking God for deliverance from the evil one. Are we allowing him to deliver us? And what is the route he's giving us to get out of that mess that we're in? And then, for yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And in the Passion it says, rescue us every time we face tribulation. Tribulation is the mess, you know. And he's saying, in the notes here, it says, don't let us be put into the ordeal of being tested. Don't let us go there. Keep us, hold us back as long as you can. If we insist on going, he has to let us go. But in James 1, verses 13 and 14, it tells us that we don't have to. You know, testing is not for us. And set us free from evil, or the evil one, if you like. And then it's, instead of saying, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, amen, it says, for you are our king who rules with power and glory forever, amen. For you are our king who rules with power and glory forever, amen. And I'm just going to read it quickly through one more translation, which is mine in my Bible, and it says, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. We haven't talked much about holiness, but we could develop that. You see, each one is like a line. It's like a heading. What do I want to pray about this? What do I want to pray about that? What do I want to pray about this? Just take it more slowly. Write your notes so that you can perhaps write a prayer from it that, you know, comes out of the Lord's Prayer. All our prayers should come out of this. If we need healing, it needs to come out of this prayer. If we need setting free from, it needs to come out of this prayer, because it's all here, that he is the one who is the provider of everything that we need. So our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's another thing. May your will be done. If you know God's will is to heal you, this is where you pray for it. You say, Lord, your will is that I should be healed. And I want to see it come. You know, let it come. Let it come to me. Show me how to step forward to receive it. Let God show you. And he will start you on a journey to be healed. Give us this day the food we need, whether it's spiritual, whether it's for our mind, for our body, or for our soul, or our spirit. Forgive us our sins, for we have forgiven as we have forgiven those who've sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For you are our king, and you reign forever in all your glory and all your power. Amen. Amen. So does that give you a new look at the Lord's Prayer? Because it should do. God is saying, for this time now, I'm calling my church to get more into the Lord's Prayer, because you have so many things that are happening on earth that all need prayer. And you can be so confused about how to pray for this and how to pray for that. And somebody can be asking you for prayer meetings for this, that, and the other. And there's so much, and it's almost too much for you. But God said, I told the disciples to pray like this, and you are my disciple. So you pray like this too, and I will do the rest. So I pray for all of you. Let's just pray together, shall we? Close your eyes. Father, I thank you that you have shown us, Lord, how precious this instruction on prayer that you gave to the disciples is to us today. I thank you, Father, you teach us, Lord, to use it, and that we won't just gabble it off and without any faith, Father, because it's faith that pleases you. And we have to have our faith linked into what we're asking. And Father, some things are more difficult for us. Maybe we find forgiveness difficult, or we find believing for healing difficult, Lord. But as we pray and we are reminded who you are, so, Father, our faith will grow. And we believe, Father, you can answer every prayer on earth through the prayer that you pray to your Father every day. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.